wanted to share with you today, brothers and sisters, that healthy things grow and growing things change. Change brings challenges. Challenges bring obedience. Obedience is healthy and healthy things grow. Now, what do we mean healthy things grow? Well, growth is a sign of life and growing things change. It takes you out of your comfort zone. So that change brings challenge. And usually in the midst of a challenge, as we're going through a change, we become a little more obedient. I mean, let's be honest about it. We pray a little more. We read the word a little more. We may even give a big offering. Amen. But we get a little more obedience because we're facing a challenge, and we have it in our mind that if we're obedient, God will bless us more. So an obedience is healthy, and healthy things grow. Now, God wants us to change, but he has a way he wants to go about things. The word of God came to Zerubbabel, Zechariah 4:6. He said, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So what was he saying there? He's saying, not by our education, not by our finances, not by our social connections, not by any type of force or violence, but by his spirit. That's how God wants to do things. And he ends that phrase saying the Lord of hosts. See, the Lord of hosts is another phrase that signifies he's the Lord of the armies of heaven. So he doesn't want to use his power or might. He doesn't want us to use our power or might. He wants to do things, as scripture says here, by his spirit. He wants to grow us by his spirit. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Now, I want to point out here, grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God the Father and Jesus our Lord. And verse 3 says, "Through his divine power." I will point out to you today that that's the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, his divine power. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, the Holy Spirit is the divine power by which we can navigate our way through life. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will teach us. He will bring the word of Jesus to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit is also the divine power by which we can live a godly life, a godly life. Now, look what it says here. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Some people would like to think in terms of religiosity on that phrase, but all things that pertain to life are the things that we need to make it through life. A nice home, income, transportation, that's life, you know, and a good family, a good environment, but also godliness. Those are the things that we need for our spiritual growth. And remember, healthy things grow. But how does God want to accomplish these things? By our ability to yield to his influence of his Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. Let's look for a minute at Galatians 5. So he says in verse 16, Galatians 5:16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want." See, now this word flesh, in the King James kinds of gives it a sexual connotation. And most people, when they hear the word flesh, they kind of put a sexual connotation to it. But the flesh is actually our sensory perception. It's sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. Whatever looks good, sounds good, feels good, smells, or tastes good, that's the flesh. And see, the only way we learn the world is through our sensory perception. I often say that people who do not believe in God, but try to learn of God through their sensory perception, those are the people that end up worshiping trees and rocks and statues, because all that they have is their sensory perception. They don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because the only way you can learn about the God we serve, amen, is by his spirit, amen? Now, that Lamborghini looks good. I want it. See, that's sight. It feels good to sleep in instead of going to church on Sunday morning. See, that's the flesh. Amen? It tastes good to eat fried chicken and pork chops and ice cream and cake. Forget the diet and forget what the doctor said. See, that's the flesh. Amen? Now, Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. That's a profound statement. He's saying that this means that all the time, effort, and emotion we invest into our sensory perception, which we call the flesh in King James, is all in vain. It's a waste of time, of effort, and emotional investment because it's no profit. He says the spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. So no profit, no gain from all the time and effort and emotion we invest into the flesh. Amen. But he goes on to say, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The word of God is telling us today, choose life. Amen. But here's the problem. Verse 17 in Galatians 5 says, for the flesh craves what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're opposed to each other. See, there's a constant battle going on within us. The New Living Translation of the same verse says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants, and the spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. So, there's a battle going on within us. All times, every decision we make, we're being influenced to be led one way or the other. The question is, are we going to yield to the Holy Spirit of God? Are we going to allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit? Because verse 18 says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Amen? So these are some things to remember about the Holy Spirit. He regenerates the believer. He indwells the believer. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He seals us. The Spirit adopts us. The Spirit fills the believer. And that you can see that in Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Spirit. He's the author of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. Amen. He interprets Scripture. It's impossible for the natural man to understand the Bible without the Scripture, without the Spirit, because he interprets the Scripture. He guides believers. And that's in Romans 8:14. He also anoints the believer. You can see that in 1 John 2:27. The anointing you receive from him remains in you. He sanctifies the believer. That's in 1 Peter 1:2. And he also provides fruit for the believer's life. That's in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith. And he also empowers a believer. So that's in Acts 1:8. It was so important, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said, wait until you receive power from on high. We want to share with you today, saints of God, that we should wait in any decision that we make, in anything that we do in life, which way we are being led depends on our ability to wait, to be led, and to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit.